Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Is that Raina here? Wow, Pentecost Sunday is raining. Just close your eyes, just lift your hands for a minute. Thank you, Jesus. We just love you. Holy Spirit, we honor you in this place today. There's no one like you, Holy Spirit. Every thirsty soul that you satisfy. All of our searching today, it ends here, Holy Spirit, because you are available to us. Of your presence in every situation, every circumstance, Holy Spirit. Let us become more aware of your presence. Even now, as you're inviting him in, he's filling your home, the lives of your children, their bedrooms, every square inch. Let us experience the glory of your good. Holy Spirit, we invite you today. We invite you today, as we do every day. We don't want to do a single day without you. And as it rains over us in the natural, would you rain in the spiritual over our lives? Oh, Holy Spirit, when rain falls, it falls on the rich and on the poor, on the beautiful and the not so lovely, on the old and the young. Rain falls indiscriminately, and Holy Spirit, so do you. That is not by our works that we receive you, Holy Spirit, but it's by the goodness and the grace of your finished work, Jesus, that ushered in a way for jars of clay, imperfect vessels like us, to be able to receive you, even some of you right now. Your life is changing even before the word is preached, even right now. It's coming alive in you. Some of you are wondering, what is all this about? It's God Himself revealing afresh who He is to you. And so, Father, we just commit today into your hands. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in. I pray that you'll give us ears to hear, hearts that are open. Father, we set aside our skepticism and our cynicism and our unbelief. And we wholeheartedly lean in into all that you are today. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, can we just give Jesus just an almighty honor and a praise for who he is? Thank you, God. So good, so good. Welcome to everyone that's watching online, to our Cork and Phnom Penh campuses. We love you and know that there are still quite severe restrictions around your gathering. But I tell you what, wherever you're watching today, all over the world, whatever time zone you're in, the Holy Spirit can be just as real in your bedroom, in your living room, as he is right now in this auditorium today. So we're sending you love and prayers. Can you give the musicians a big hand as well? So good. Well, today is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday is observed all over the world by Spirit-filled believers. And, you know, today I just want to encourage you that what Jesus prophesied and promised when he walked the earth and before he ascended into heaven is still our living reality today. It did not stop in the Bible, in the book of Acts. It continues on today. Today also marked a brand new era in Christianity as we currently know it. It is unmatched in significance because in many ways, we are all here today in this church because of the day of Pentecost. It was the day of Pentecost that birthed the church into being. The church that we know of today, this ecclesia, this gathering of believers, people like you and I are here today only because of the way that the Holy Spirit descended on 120 people in a room, and the coming of the Holy Spirit as we now know him made possible the birth of the church to which we are now all the beneficiaries and living in that reality today. Today I want to speak to you. The title of my message is basically this: the Holy Spirit. Come on. I tried my very best to think of something really clever, something really sticky, and the Holy Spirit just said, why don't you just talk about me? That'd be good, wouldn't it? Jesus, before he ascended to be seated at the right hand of the Father, he said this to his disciples. They gathered, Acts chapter 1, verse 4. It says, being assembled together with them, this is Jesus and his disciples, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Say, baptized with the Holy Spirit. Not many days from now, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power. Say, receive power. Receive power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, say, Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. We go to Acts 2 verse 1, next chapter. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled, say all filled, with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Incredible passage of scripture. Can we give God a big shout of praise for that too? Very powerful. I want to unpack that, use that as a platform to launch from today. But if you think about what famous last words are, you haven't got a head of expression, famous last words. If you think about how meaningful, how significant last words were, some of you may have lost a loved one and you have real memories of the last things they may have said to you. Maybe there was a goodbye that you said to someone who was very close to you. They're now moving permanently away from you and it'd be a long time before you saw them again. You remember that last interaction, that last conversation, don't you? Jesus, before he ascended into heaven, out of all of the things he could have talked about, he could have asked his disciples, how are you feeling about life? Are you going to be okay? And what did you have for lunch? And he could have had a whole bunch of small talk. He could have had a whole heap of different theological conversations with his disciples. What did he choose to talk to his disciples about? He chose to talk to them about the Holy Spirit. He said, when I go from here, then the Holy Spirit will come. He started to use expressions like, he will come upon you. He talked using strange phrases like, you will receive power, you will be filled, and all of these things that appear in the New Testament. And these are not theological words. Jesus intentionally used experiential words. Yeah. Do you understand that? Yeah. In conversing and introducing the Holy Spirit to his disciples, Jesus intentionally used experiential words, words that I think have often caused division amongst the church. If you think about what has divided the Christian church, the church is not divided about who God is. Our theology is relatively orthodox. Most churches, if they're not all that funky, would believe that God is God. He's our creator. Makes sense to you? Yeah. Yep. All Christians would believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He is our Savior. In fact, Jesus Christ is what unites us all. Hello. Yeah. What's divided us is the Holy Spirit. It's been this really difficult to handle part of theology. If you would agree with me today, we believe that God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He is all three. That is our understanding. Where so many of us get stuck in our walk with God is not in the God is God the Father part, because we all can conceptualize the Father. Most of us have good relationships with our earthly fathers, and we can understand that a father's role is nurturer and protector and one who overlooks our lives and you know, one who we're responding to. We can understand Father, Abba, Father. That is a good earthly grid for that. We can understand Savior. That's a good word for us. We all know lifesavers. They're earthly metaphors for that. With Jesus, we talk about the lamb, we talk about the lion, we understand that. But the Holy Spirit, who even is he? There's no grid for him. And so, you know, most of us are happy living a meatloaf Christianity. Do you know what a meatloaf Christianity is? It's this: don't be sad, because 2 out of 3 ain't bad. We're okay with God. We're okay with Jesus, but I talk to us about the Holy Spirit. Some of you are going, who is Meatloaf? Roland Murphy knows who Meatloaf is. He's a Meatloaf fan right here. Back in his teenage Irish days, he was listening to Meatloaf, rocking it out. Ain't no way I'm ever gonna... No, I'm gonna... Don't be sad. No, just playing. But how many of you know that God wants us to experience not just 2/3 of him? He wants us to experience all of him. The reason why the Holy Spirit makes us, some of us, feel uncomfortable is that religion, I think, has been quite successful in getting a hold of God. There is some academic understanding now. There is a framework. People have some, you know, grid about deity, and all world religions have a God of some kind. People have written about it, and there's been some discussion about it. Even Jesus' religion has got a hold of Christology. They've been able to carve wooden images of Jesus, stick him on a crucifix, and leave him in a church, and we're good with that. But the Holy Spirit, religion has never been able to get a hold of him. Why? Because he's to be experienced. And when it comes to the Holy Spirit, he has eluded the religious mindset. And I think that's why so many believers are very comfortable with God, very good with Jesus even, because we all need a Savior. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, we don't really want to touch that. So we have these meatloaf Christians that are good with 2 out of 3, and we call that ain't bad. But come on, how many of you know that God wants us to experience all of him? Because how do you get a hold of the Holy Spirit? In the Hebrew, it's ruach, it's wind. How do you get a hold of wind? Right? In the New Testament, it's breath, pneuma. How do you box breath, catch it? Well, you can't. And here's the thing. That's why I think the Holy Spirit is so disturbing to the religious amongst us. And knowing that, I'm going to make a disturbing statement for you. The Holy Spirit is not to be explained. He's to be experienced. He's not an it. He's not a concept. He's not a thing. He's a person. Just like God the Father is a person, God the Son is a person, God the Holy Spirit is also a person. Equal to this triune God. Don't walk through life experiencing only 2/3 of who God is. Experience all of who he is. And me, I'm being intentionally provocative with the statement that the Holy Spirit is to be explained, is not to be explained, but rather to be experienced, is because I think that one of the great stumbling blocks for every believer in experiencing the Holy Spirit is our propensity to want to reason with and to make logic out of this person called the Holy Spirit. But he's not a human person that you can check out their profile on social media before you decide whether you want to meet with them or not. You know what I'm talking about? Because we like to check things out, you know? He doesn't have like a CV or a resume before you decide whether he's qualified enough to be in your life. He's not a person that is human like us. He is God himself. And, you know, for us, because we don't know how to handle him, we don't know who he is, we tend to be skeptical over what we don't know. We tend to be afraid about what we don't understand. That's where ignorance and prejudice comes from. Come on, are you out there? Today, I'm going to do my very clumsy best to explain the Holy Spirit to you, because there's got to be some understanding. But my primary job today is to lead you to experience him. Are we good with that? Because the Holy Spirit ultimately is not really asking me to explain him to you. He's asking me to lead you to encounter him. So many things in life we want explanations for. We want understanding for, when all that we need is to experience it. I'm no scientist, right? And I know there's lots of science students here and people that are scientists that are far better than me that could explain to you what air is. They could explain to you what standard dry air, what that composition is, how many percentage is oxygen, how many percentage is carbon dioxide, how many percentage is hydrogen, etc. Very clever. They can explain to you how air moves, how it all works, and all of these sorts of things. But if I were to put a plastic bag over the head of a scientist and hold that bag for a few minutes. While they're turning blue and choking, I'll ask them, do you want me to explain air to you? Or would you like me to rip the bag open so you can breathe? I know which one they choose. Yeah. Come on, I need a resounding amen. Yeah. Just like your body doesn't need you to explain air, it just needs to breathe it to stay alive, your spirit doesn't need the Holy Spirit explained to it. Your spirit needs to receive Him. Come on, do I get a resounding amen? So many of us want to be reasonable. We want logic around the Holy Spirit. Can you explain to me? And I refuse to believe that He's real until you explain Him to me. Well, do you want me to explain air to you while you hold your breath? I bet you don't. Hello. This has predominantly been the criticism of people like us, Pentecostals. Yeah. Is that, you're all experiential. It's all about experiencing. Well, yes. It's like saying, all you humans, all you do is breathe. Yes, that's what we do. We breathe to stay alive. Hello. We use experiential words like Jesus did. The criticism on Pentecostals is that we actually talk like Jesus did. We say crazy things like, He will baptize you, fully immerse you in the Holy Spirit. You will be filled. You will receive power. What even is that? The criticism for us that's come upon us is that, and we crazy enough to believe that whatever the Bible says about God and whatever the Bible says about Jesus and whatever the Bible says about the Holy Spirit is still relevant to us today. The Holy Spirit is not interested in being understood. He just wants to be received. Come on. And I think that's why religious people hate any talk about the Holy Spirit, because they can't pin Him down with their intellect. They can't box Him. Come on. They can't put a little square that He can fit into their understanding. I don't know about you, but if you think about who the Holy Spirit is, it's mind-blowing. Stop trying to figure Him out, because at best, you're what, 115, 120 IQ? 130 if you're lucky and cheated in your intelligence test? You try and figure out the third person of the Godhead, good luck to you. Yes. Come on. Yeah. He's not here to be understood. He's here to be experienced. Yeah. And so when we talk about who we are, people call us the Pentecostal church. What does that even mean? It just means that we believe everything that happened in the book of Acts still happens today. Here's the thing that you need to catch, right? When the Holy Spirit came as He now is available to us in that new era that ushered in after Jesus ascended, the Holy Spirit came upon all mankind, not just to a select few. But now this is the New Testament. He comes upon us. The church that was birthed, the church that God birthed, was a Spirit-filled church. Yeah. Do you need to understand that? Yeah. If you were alive in the first century and you were a believer, the only option, the only church that you had was a Pentecostal church to go to. That was the only church you had. Yeah. You couldn't say, I want to leave the Pentecostal church because I'm going to go to a bit more of a traditional mainstream church. There was no such thing. Yeah. Hello. You guys are getting real quiet now. Confronting, isn't it? You couldn't actually say, I want to leave the Spirit-filled church. I want to go to the high church or a bit more traditional church where it's a bit more orthodox, where it's a bit more ordered or structured. There was no such thing. The only church that you could go to if you lived in the first century, hello, and you called yourself a believer, was a Spirit-filled church. That was all they had, because that was the only church that Jesus birthed through the Holy Spirit. When we talk about what God has done in us, and you know, this is what I love about being Spirit-filled and what the Holy Spirit has done in us. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit came and all were filled. Yes. All were filled. I'm not talking, the Bible doesn't say only the old and mature were filled, or only the young and had a lot of life to live were filled. Only the rich were filled, but not the poor. Only the lovely people, but the unlovely, they didn't get the Holy Spirit. Only the West Coast Eagles supporters are filled with the Holy Spirit, but not the Fremantle Dockers supporters. He didn't say that. He was indiscriminate. Like rain, it falls on everybody. Come on, are you out there? And maybe you're here today and you're sensing, can I receive the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is available for everyone. On all flesh, everyone, all receive the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're here and you've been walking with Jesus for a long time and you think, I hear a lot about these Spirit-filled people that talk about, walking with power and you know, they're moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and there's all these really cool things that these Spirit-filled people tend to do, and I kind of want it, but I don't really feel worthy. If I'm still struggling along in my faith. There's so many things I don't understand, and there's if you only knew, I'm far from perfect. I mess up a lot, and I'm just trying to get, so I'm okay with God, the Father, and I'm okay with Jesus, who's constantly forgives me. I'm under this waterfall of grace. I'm good with that. But when you talk about the Holy Spirit, I don't really know if I'm worthy to receive the Holy Spirit. If that is you today, let me put your heart at rest. You don't receive the Holy Spirit because you're worthy. You receive the Holy Spirit because Jesus is worthy. You receive the Holy Spirit because the Holy Lamb of God has already been sacrificed. So he made a way. That's why he could say to his disciples, when I go from here, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. He made a way for the Holy Spirit to come on all flesh because Jesus died for all flesh. I need a resounding amen. It sounds utterly unreasonable. In other words, difficult to reason with it. We want to reason with it before we experience it. The Holy Spirit doesn't contradict reason, but he transcends it. It's not that we can't reason with him. It's just that he's beyond reason. He's beyond our ability to reason with it. And like I said before, if you wait your whole life to achieve some level of tolerance where you can maybe figure out the Holy Spirit before you experience him, you're going to be waiting a long time. Our experience of the Holy Spirit must inform our understanding of him, not the other way around. Come on, are you catching this? Our experience of the Holy Spirit has got to inform our understanding of him, not the other way around. And this is what I love about these 120 ordinary men and women in an upper room that received the Holy Spirit as we currently now know and have an inheritance and have access to, is that they laid down their right. They put it down. They laid down their right to understand the Holy Spirit and picked up their need to experience him. They weren't waiting in the upper room for an explanation. The Bible says they waited. They weren't waiting for an explanation. But they waited to experience the Holy Spirit. Some of us, we're asking ourselves the question, who is the Holy Spirit? Why have him? If God is everything, I'm cool with God the Father. And if Jesus is Savior and he's all I need, why should I have the Holy Spirit? Well, I mean, isn't like the Holy Spirit the thing that Pentecostal Christians do and have just to make them feel all happy and clappy? Have you heard that before? Well, what's the other alternative? Depressed and being a jerk? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'd rather just be happy and clappy because it's, you know what I'm saying? But that's not why you have the Holy Spirit, okay? I digress. For me, I have the Holy Spirit because I refuse to only experience 2/3 of who God is. I want to experience all of him. I need a resounding amen. The world needs a church that isn't just 2/3 full of God, but all 3/3 are in us. This is how I see it. The Holy Spirit is in me for me, but it's on me for you. Believe me, you don't want a pastor that's only 2/3 of God. That I only believe in 2/3 of God. I'm not so sure about the other third. You don't want to go into your homes with only 2/3 of God. You don't want to take only 2/3 of God into your future. Trust me, come on, are you out there? In the Old Testament, we see the Holy Spirit manifesting on different individuals and select people, but today in the New Testament, he's for everyone. Everyone can be a Samson. Everyone, come on, you either. Everyone can be a David. Everyone can be a Gideon. Everyone, come on. So who is he? And What does he do for us? See, if you were to truly know who the Holy Spirit is, I promise you, you will never want to live a single day without him. Jesus, in introducing who the Holy Spirit is to his disciples, said this, and I will ask the Father and he will give you. And this is a list of descriptions of who he is and what he does. The Holy Spirit is your comforter. How many of you want some comfort? Yeah. We all need, life is tough. He's also your counselor. How many of you need a counselor? Stop looking to Facebook for counsel. Your Holy Spirit is your counselor. How many of you need a helper? How many of you cried out, Jesus, help me this week? How many of you cried out 5 times today, Jesus, help me? Jesus is like FaceTiming, Holy Spirit, can you just sort that woman out? Just help her, please. Jesus, help me. He's your helper. He's your intercessor. In other words, when you don't know what to pray, when your life, when your back's so against the wall, you don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit is interceding for you. He's your advocate. I love this. He's your defense attorney. Yeah. So that when the accusations come, when the sophisticated arguments come against you, telling you that you're not qualified, that you're worthless, he's your advocate to say, rejection, Your Honor. Yeah. Rejection, come on. He's your advocate. He's your strengthener. How many of you need strength when you're weary, when you're weak? He's your standby. I love what that standby picture is, if I can give it to you. It's like, you know, when it's in an emergency, you break the glass, you pull the lever. He's your standby. Amazing. But more than just who he is and what he does for us, when you have the Holy Spirit, he then gives you gifts. As if like being in your corner and all of these different roles he plays in your life isn't like enough. He actually gives you gifts. The Bible gives us a list of gifts. He gives you the gifts of wisdom. How many of you need a gift of wisdom? Yeah. I think Christians could do with some wisdom. Yeah. The stupid decisions we make sometimes. We need some wisdom. The gift of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the word of faith, the word of healing, the word of, the gift of faith, the gift of healing and prophecy and discernment and speaking in tongues. These gifts remind us that we're not here on the earth just to get saved and then struggle along to get by. But God put us on the earth. When we say yes to Jesus, he put us on the earth to fulfill a purpose. And that purpose is a commission so great that it would be impossible to do it and fulfill it without the gifts of the Holy Spirit, without these supernatural divine gifts moving in us. The Holy Spirit makes our Christianity dynamic and vibrant and alive. It's the difference between watching a black and white TV and full HD 4K. Come on. It's the difference between just trying to get by in life and living a life full of him. And so here is the Holy Spirit, and he is comforter and counselor and advocate and intercessor and helper and all these things. He's in our corner. That's who he is. That's what he does for us. On top of that, he gives us gifts, but that is not all. On top of that, he produces fruit in us. When we have him, Galatians 5, Paul says to the church in Galatia, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work with which his presence within us accomplishes is this: love, joy, gladness, peace, patience, and even temper, forbearance, kindness, goodness, benevolence, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, humility, self-control, self-restraint, continence. Against such things, there is no law. Some of you, I already see some of you wives, I need to get my husband some of that Holy Spirit. Sister, you need to get the Holy Spirit. How many of you want to do life with someone that has great love and great joy and gladness and peace and patience and kindness? How many of you want to be married to that kind of person?
Yeah, absolutely.
Get the Holy Spirit, be filled with him. Come on. So here is the Holy Spirit, and he's saying, if you receive me, I am comforter and helper and advocate and intercessor. I'm in your corner. I do these things for you. That's who I am to you. On top of that, I give you gifts. You don't earn them, they're for you, so you can live a dynamic life and fulfill the call and purposes of God on this earth. On top of that, if I'm in you, I produce all of this fruit that comes out. How amazing. I have to admit, I'm a little bit selfish, because if my whole church was Spirit-filled, I would actually get a whole church that's full of love and joy and peace. I actually fantasize about a church that is kind and good and faithful. And gentle and self-controlled, that'll be awesome. Get the Holy Spirit, everybody. Come on.
Yeah.
Be filled. Be filled. Help a pastor out. Be filled. You know, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, I think what's most important for us to understand is the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of God, is the presence of God. The Bible talks a lot about, beyond being baptized or that subsequent distinct experience of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 13 and Ephesians chapter 5 and passages like that talk about being filled, living in a state of perpetual fullness of the Holy Spirit. The Bible's clear that your best life is not a single once-off experience or encounter with the Holy Spirit, but to live your life perpetually experiencing the reality of the Holy Spirit in your life. Do you understand that? And so when it comes to the Holy Spirit, it's so important for us to know that we are constantly being filled. We can be constantly filled when we know how to host His presence. His presence is His Spirit. The presence of God is the presence of the Holy Spirit. We need to know how to host Him. We need to know how to wait on Him. What does that even mean? It's very vague, Pastor Ken. Well, it's a little bit like this. Waiting means to have an open-hearted expectation daily that the Holy Spirit will come and fill your life afresh with all of the things that you need. Makes sense to you? I think in the 21st century, we have lost the ability to wait. Yeah. Yeah. We actually don't know how to wait. Because when we have to wait, we end up doing things while we wait for the thing that we're waiting for. Have you ever had to wait at a doctor's surgery? In the lounge, what are you doing? You're checking your emails, you're playing with your phone, you're watching the big screen with the captions on it, watching the news, right? Like you're waiting for the dentist to call you, he's never early. He's expensive, but he's never early. And what are you doing when you're waiting? You're doing stuff. You're sending texts, you're organizing your life, you're looking at your diary. We're doing stuff while we wait, but we have lost the ability to wait, to have open-hearted expectation. Makes sense to you? The 120 in the upper room, when they waited, they didn't have smartphones to occupy their time while they waited. Come on. They waited. They had an open-hearted expectation for all that the Holy Spirit was going to do. There was no grid for it, and yet they waited. I don't know about you, but if I was in the upper room, this was a few days they waited. Not a lot of days, but Jesus said just a few days from now. Not a lot of days, just a few days. I reckon after about 10 minutes, I'll go, should we go? What's for lunch? Should we go to Nando's? We've lost the ability to wait. In the Old Testament, when the Holy Spirit was available only to different individuals as a foretaste of what was to come, where one day all flesh, all humanity could have access to the Holy Spirit if they believed in Jesus, they knew how to reverence the presence of God. They knew how to host the presence of God. King David in 2 Samuel chapter 6, back in those days, the presence of God resided in a structure called the ark. It was a foretaste of a time that would come where we would be that structure. Makes sense to you? The Holy Spirit would be in us. Makes sense. But this ark was captured by the Philistines. They had lost the battle and the Philistines had captured it and taken it down to their country. And David was just so annoyed by that, and he fought another battle and he managed to rescue that ark. And when he rescued that ark to take that back to Jerusalem, the city of David, this was how he honored it. He wouldn't walk any more than 6 steps. And he'd stop and he would worship. And he'd take another 6 steps. He'd stop and he would worship. He wouldn't dare go a 7th step because 7 was the number of completion. It's a whole different story, a whole different sermon. But he wouldn't dare walk through a journey of finish his journey of life without honoring the presence of God, honoring the Spirit's work in his life. Makes sense to you guys? And so there was this beautiful picture of honoring the presence of the Spirit of God. We've lost that. And yet, Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Wow! Think about that. Paul is saying, don't you know, Roland Murphy, that you are the temple of the, you are a host, a carrier of the Spirit of God, and your body is not your own to do whatever you want with. You are a temple of the Holy. Come on, I need a resounding amen. When we understand that in spite of our brokenness, we're sinners saved by grace, God still calls us. You are a host, Mel Fletcher, of the presence of God. The Spirit of God can reside in you. You are not your own woman. You belong to the Spirit. You're a woman of the Spirit. What a great status to be bestowed on us. Well, church, we've got to come back to becoming people that understand how to host the presence of God. When we think about who the Holy Spirit is, when we think about Him birthing the church into being, the kind of church that we're a part of right now, when we think about how He is in our corner, And what he does for us, the roles he plays in our lives, comforter and intercessor and helper and advocate and strengthener and all these things. When we think about the gifts he gives us in order to live these effective lives that he's called us to, when we think about the fruit he produces in us, why would we want to do a single day without him? I need a resounding amen. And even right now, if you're watching online, the Holy Spirit is here. Musicians, you can join me.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.